I started off with the Bible reading, but as I was thinking about this story, I was wondering about our lives, and I was wondering about the way things change, you know. And I was thinking about these. Let's put the first picture up, shall we? is it you? Yes, thank you. Ah, there we are. Galilee. I did say, it says Lake Tiberias in my version of the Bible, but it's actually the same name as Galilee. And there they were. And it made me think about Jesus. It made me think about me and Jesus, actually. And I don't know if this is true for you, but sometimes I wish it was like it used to be. I don't know if you know what I mean, but I can remember a time when I first became friends with Jesus. I was only 10. And somehow it seemed really simple in those days. And I can remember my teenage years. And in the back of my Bible when I was a teenager, I had written, if God seems far away, guess who moved? When I was a teenager, we had all those sort of fun. Some of you might remember one or two of us smiling. That's maybe because you remember it, or maybe because you think it's funny. But if God seems far away, guess who moved? Well, as I've grown older, I think that's a bit trite. You know, it doesn't always ring true for me, because sometimes I haven't moved on purpose, and sometimes I'm really trying to know that God is near to me, and sometimes it doesn't feel like it is. And the Bible tells me that he is, but it doesn't always feel like that. I don't know if you ever feel like that at all. And I wonder if that's how it was for Jesus' friends in our story today. So press the button again, please. And there they are. They've gone out on the lake. There's seven of them. The Bible does say that. And it says their names. Well, most of their names. It says Simon Peter. That's one person, by the way. And Thomas. And Nathaniel. And then the sons of Zebedee, who I think were James and John. And then there's two others. And we think it must be Andrew if Peter was there. And then maybe the other one was Philip. We're not quite sure. But anyway, there they were. And they were all fishermen. And I wonder if they were talking to each other and saying, it was great, wasn't it? A few weeks ago, there we were with Jesus, and he was so close to us, and we could talk to him, and he could, and we could hear what he has to say, and we could see all the great things he was doing. And it makes me think, you know, sometimes in my life, I think, oh, last year it was so much easier to be a Christian, or when I was 10, it was so much easier to be a friend of Jesus, and now, I don't know, maybe so many things are happening in my life, maybe there's sad things that have happened, maybe there's things that have made me very busy, maybe there's lots of other things that I seem to have to spend time on that I didn't have to worry about when I was 10 or 14 or 21 or something like that. And I wonder if that's how it was for these. You know, they didn't have to worry about anything because they were following Jesus and just listening to him and just seeing what he was doing and trying to help him out with everything. I mean, life seems... And then... He wasn't there. It was awful because he died. And although he came back to life, he still wasn't with them all the time. And then, so I'm hoping we might think of some things this morning that will help us when Jesus doesn't seem very near. And maybe he's never seemed near to you, or maybe he once was and isn't quite so near now. Well, these friends of Jesus, I think that they did two things. First of all, they went back to where they used to know him. They literally went back to Galilee, where they first met him, and to the lake there. And so, if we find that Jesus is far away, maybe we could actually go back, and you might have to think back to where you really knew Jesus well. You might actually be able to go back to a place, and that might help you, I don't know. And then another thing they did, they remembered what Jesus had said to them. Jesus sent them a message. And if you look in the story, just after Jesus came back to life, there was an angel who spoke to Mary and said, go to Jesus' friends, the disciples, and tell them, especially Peter, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and I'll meet you there. So I think they remembered that and they went back to Galilee. And there's another thing, you see. So if we can't really... feel that Jesus is very close to us, and even though we know in the Bible it tells us he is, maybe we should remember some of the things he's told us, and maybe that would help us, and try and do what he was saying to us last time, and think about that. And so I remember when I first became a Christian, it was partly because somebody told me Jesus would be a friend who would stick by you always, even when nobody else did. And you will never be alone. And when I ask team at camp and put them on the spot and I say, what's the best reason that you could ever want to be a Christian? If somebody wasn't sure they'd like to be a Christian, what would you say to them to convince them? They nearly always say that you're never alone. Jesus will always be with you, even when you don't realise it, even when you don't feel it. I'm sure you know that little thing about the footprints in the sand, you know. where there's two sets of footprints, there's only one, and that's because Jesus carried you. And then, do you know the extra bit about that, about the two footprints and the line? That's where Jesus carried you, kicking and screaming. But it's the point is that Jesus is always with you, you see. And he was with them. And perhaps they tried to remember what he said, and to do that, press the button, please, Lauren. And then there they were, doing fishing. Perhaps they had to earn money. Perhaps they didn't know what else to do, and they'd gone back to Galilee and thought they'd better. And they fished all night, and that's what they used to do then. Might seem daft to us to work all night fishing, but that's how it worked in those days. And it was early morning, and they'd caught nothing. And then somebody from the shore called out, "Hey, lads, have you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. And he said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will catch them." Press the button. So there they were, listening to the voice from the shore. They did that. They threw the net out on the other side and then could not pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. And now, here's something else for us. Because it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved, we think that was John, the fellow who wrote the book that I'm reading from out of the Bible. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Aha. That's another thing you can do when Jesus seems a bit far away to you, or you can't really feel him very close. Keep an eye out for him. And you might not be able to see him with your physical eyes, but you might see him in what somebody else does or somebody else says to you. You might hear something that somebody... So be on the lookout for Jesus. Perhaps John was on the lookout for Jesus. It's surprising. But the rest of them, as soon as somebody called out from the shore, they didn't immediately say, "Oh, I wonder if that's Jesus." And I'm like that. I wouldn't necessarily be looking all the time, because sometimes it's not like that. But when something amazing happened, John knew who it must be. So press the button again. And this is where the pictures have gone slightly wrong. And those of you who know the story really well and know your Bible well, you have to check it out. But it says here, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him and jumped into the water. Only Peter. That shows them all doing that. It says the other disciples came ashore in the boat pulling the net full of fish. So I'm sorry about the picture, you know, like you just can't ever get everything right all the time. But Peter leapt out of the boat. He was an action man. He had to do something, and he raced into the... And I suppose that would also tell us something we should do. When Jesus seems far away, sometimes we need to do something to get a bit closer. And Peter wasn't satisfied with being in the boat, even though it was only about 100 metres out from the shore. He leapt into the water. He didn't care what anybody else thought about him. He didn't care about getting wet. He had to get to Jesus. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to not care what other people think about us and about what we're doing. When we know where Jesus is, sometimes we just have to do something to get there. And it might be prayer. It might be getting out of the situation and finding somewhere quiet to talk to Jesus. But sometimes we need to do something like Peter did. And eventually they all did as well. Well, press the button and you'll see. There they are, all on the beach. And the Bible says that Jesus already had a fire, and he had some bread, and he had some fish. That's amazing. They'd been fishing, but Jesus already had some. And there he was, cooking a barbecue on the beach. Isn't that a nice thought for the glorious summer that waits ahead of us, when glorious sunshine at Lager camps all the time and not a spot of rain? And I don't say it'll be a barbecue summer, but here's a barbecue story from the Bible anyway, and it's a barbecue breakfast. It says here, when they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there. Even charcoal, you see, for those who use charcoal on your barbecue. They saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." There's another nice thing, isn't it? Another thing to think about. When you don't feel very close to Jesus, he still wants you. He still needs, well, he doesn't really need, but he still wants to use the things that you've got. And so he says to these fishermen, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Even though he had some already. No, let's use those as well. And Jesus, of course, has everything. He doesn't need anything from us, but he likes us to give him things. He likes us to help him with things. And so he did with these. Well, press the button again. And this is another little detail I love. I love reading some of the stories in the Bible, particularly some like this, where all the details are there. Because sometimes people say, "How do you know it's true?" Well, of course, you have to trust it's true. It's like the song we had about faith. You have to have faith that it's true. But when you read the Bible, if you ask God to help you, you can see there's things in there which help you to believe it really is true. And for me, it's some of the little details. 153 fish in this net. Who on earth would have counted them but a fisherman? You know? Would you? No, I won't. Would you have counted? I wouldn't have. There's a lot of them. They're very big. That's enough, isn't it? No, John had, and Peter had to go and count them because they're fishermen. And they kept records of these sort of things. Probably they had to pay tax on them, I don't know. Anyway, they kept a record. And then it also says, and the net didn't even break. That's a fisherman, isn't it? You know, when Peter started to follow Jesus, first of all, there they were. That was what happened after the story on the video. And they were mending their nets. Their nets were always breaking on different things, but here the nets didn't break. That's a fisherman. That, to me, reinforces the fact that John, the fisherman, wrote this story down so that we could all know and so we could all believe. Well, press the button, and there they were all having their breakfast together, and it was a great time. And now, Jesus' friends were back with him, and all was well. All was well. But then, something different happened. Something that Peter wasn't expecting at all. Press the button. Jesus turned to Peter. And he started to ask him some questions. And he started asking him some quite odd questions. And if we were thinking about these questions nowadays, we might think, well, that's a very weird sort of question to ask. So let's put it up anyway and see what you think to it. Press the button again. And Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? And Peter got a bit worried about this. Yes, Lord, he says. You know that I love you. But it made him think a bit. Press the button again. It made him a bit worried. And it made him a bit think about what was behind the question. And why would Jesus want to know that sort of thing? And press the button again. Because it was only a few weeks before that Peter had said to a servant girl and then some other people around the Roman soldiers, around the fire, that he didn't actually know Jesus at all. No, he wasn't his friend. And he denied that three times. And maybe Peter remembered that when Jesus said, do you love me? How could he love me? How could I love him when I've done things like that? And maybe that'd be one of the reasons why you feel a little bit far away from God, because you know, and from Jesus, because you know there's things in the past that you've not done right. And how could Jesus love you when you've done things like that and denied him, or done things that you know, God could never love you if you've done those sort of things? Well, press the button again, and although Jesus said, Peter said, you know that I love you, Jesus asked him again. Well, no, he gave him something else first. He said, take care of my lambs. And then he said again, do you love me? Press the button. And I imagine Jesus drawing closer and saying more insistently, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, take care of my sheep. And then a third time, press the button. As Peter looked worriedly at him, wondering why he was asking these questions and what was the point, and didn't Jesus know everything anyway? Press the button. And he said, are you my friend? Well, I should explain that in my Bible, actually, it says, do you love me? But in the Greek version of the Bible, the word for God's love was used the first two times. And Peter each time said, you know, I'm your friend, which is a different Greek word. And then Jesus finally says, well, are you even my friend? And I wonder what you would answer. And I wonder what I should answer if Jesus was to say to me, do you love me? Are you my friend? And that's why Peter got really upset. And it says, Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? So he said, Lord, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And press the button. And Jesus said to him, well, take care of my sheep. I was in school just a few weeks ago, and Dean asked me, 7-year-old, asked me, why do you go to church? I wonder if somebody met you on the way out of the door here and said, oh, you've been in that church today, why do you go there? And you might say, well, because I was dragged along. My mum or my wife or my friends or somebody else told me I had to go this morning. Or I wonder what you would say. And I said to Dean, I said, well, I've been friends with Jesus for so long, that's why I go to church. I go to church to meet with Jesus. It helps me to feel closer to him. And so there's another way. If sometimes Jesus feels a bit further away from you, or you feel as if you can't be in touch with him, well, get together with his friends and maybe they'll be able to help you. And the fact that some other people are closer to him, maybe that'll help you get closer to him as well. Well, because I was thinking about this. Another sad thing that happened to me this week was I had a letter from a fella for whom I was best man. And the letter was sad because it says that he's separating from his wife that he married when I was best man. And I thought, oh, that's sad. I'm sorry to hear that. But it made me think, you know, how easy it is to fall out of love with somebody. Even out of love with Jesus. And even though you might have been friends with Jesus years ago, it's quite easy to somehow fall out of love with him. And when Jesus asks the question, do you love me? It's easy to say, well, I used to. And we mustn't let it happen. And the way that Judy and I, my wife and I, were talking about how sad it was with my friend and thinking about how that could happen and how we don't want it to happen to us. And how I don't want it to happen to Jesus either. And so press the button again. And let's just think about the last thing that I wanted to say, which is, what do we have to do if we do love Jesus? And every time Jesus says, take care of my sheep or my lambs. And that made me think, do you think that's just for Peter? Was he the only one who had to do that? And Peter and people like him? I don't think so. And I think it's for all of us. And so if you love Jesus and you don't know what to do about it, well, take care of his sheep. Take care of his lambs. Take care of his sheep. It's each other. It's not hard. And if things have gone a bit wrong between you and Jesus somehow, as it did for Peter, well, talk to him about it. Renew your friendship with Jesus. He knows everything anyway. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to give you that job looking after his sheep. He always wants us to draw close to him. And maybe you've never done that, and maybe hearing this story and hearing about how much Jesus loves you would encourage you and inspire you to make friends with him for the very first time. He will want that. And if I can help you at all, I'd be pleased to do that. I've always got a little prayer card on me which tells you how to do that. Just ask me for one afterwards, whether you're young or old. Let's be quiet and bow our heads for a prayer just for a minute or two, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you that years ago when Jesus' friends were missing him, weren't sure quite what to do, we thank you that they remembered what he said. We thank you that they went to Galilee as he told them to, and he met them there even though they were surprised to see him initially. And thank you, Lord, that they were able to renew their friendship with him. So, Lord, we pray that we might be friends with you, whether it's for the first time ever or whether it's renewing our friendship because somehow we've fallen out of love with you, or things have gone a bit distant. Lord, we pray that you'd help us always to be close to you. I pray that for myself. I pray you'd help me to look out for what you're doing and to get involved with that. I pray you'd help me to take care of your sheep, even as you told Peter to do, and to show how much I love you. May that be true for all of us, we pray. In his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. And a song helps us to express this. And if you press the button again, Lauren, we'll get the words. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus, is what it's all about. So let's stand up and sing as we hear the introduction played to remind us of the tune.